Welcome to the first episode of the first season of the FAM podcast. I'm Kevin Phillips, the founder and president of the For All Mankind movement based right here in Houston, Texas, and this is the FAM podcast. Now, when we think about FAM on our team, we like to say FAM is just our expression of the Great Commission. In the podcast, what we hope to do is create a space that's a learning environment, a place for you to get to know our heart better and let it inspire you, hopefully educate you on how you might live out your commitment to the mission of Jesus in whatever harvest fields you're called to serve in. So let's get into today's episode of defining a kingdom movement and how this definition has shaped our ministry. Let's go. Okay, we are into it. The first episode of the first season of the FAM podcast. I'm Kevin Phillips once again. So glad to have you joining us. Thanks for tuning in. And I want to introduce you to the man who will be our co-host for the FAM podcast, Derek Schuchler, FAM's Director of Mobilization based right out of Houston, Texas. Derek, introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, welcome everyone. I'm excited to be a part of this conversation. Thank you for having me be a part of it. But as you said, I'm the Director of Mobilization here in our Houston office, which means I'm overseeing, I guess, the short-term teams that our partner churches are sending out, part of the residency program, leading that as well, that we just launched here in Houston, that's looking at what's the next phase of FAM, who are we sending out long-term, and how are we sending them out? And then also the theological education program, both overseas for all of our networks over there, as well as here.
You bet. And something he wouldn't tell you about, he's our special project guy. So when we need a special project done at FAM, Derek's the go-to man. So, you know, when I was thinking about us doing this, I couldn't think of anybody better I'd want to do it with. I mean, we've been running together for over 12 years. We've been in the field. We've fought the hard battles. We've seen FAM in its leanest forms and then, you know, in its current state. And even as I was etching out some of the original strategies and methods, you and I were sitting there on the floor together in the Middle East with our near culture leader in the hot closet, etching these things out and watching God do things way above and beyond us, you know?
And so it is a special honor and an opportunity for me because you and FAM has shaped my understanding of what it means to be a missionary. I mean, when I was there, I knew I wanted to be missionary, do missions, but I had no idea what that meant. And so just the formation and molding of what that means has been really impactful in my life. So it's a special opportunity.
Well, nobody better to help others experience the same thing as we get them in and kind of create the space for that process and that journey to happen, even as distant mentors to some that might be leaning in, that might be up close in our world in the future. So, you know, we have some dreams for this. We have some goals for the FAM podcast. And in that, one of them is just to get our story out there. I mean, I think it's an amazing story about what God has done through this thing we call FAM, our expression of the Great Commission. So we want to get our story out there and add to and expand the conversation that's going on about what it's going to take to reach the unreached and finish the task, you could say, and really be that apostolic voice in the greater kingdom community. So, you know, it's one of our goals, one of our ambitions.
Yeah, and we think that it's an important posturing, an important conversation to have. And so we want this to be a learning environment for those who are leaning that way already. But we believe that this is important. And so we want to have that learning environment here.
Yeah, it needs to be a strong voice for the raising up of apostolic leaders and that learning environment to truly be sent ones in whatever harvest fields that someone might end up in. We want to really create that learning environment, that space that we think is missing out there. We want to add to that with even in this podcast. And, you know, one of the cool reasons I want to do this is to create the space and build out the environment through the podcast to open up doors for partnership. You know, I mean, everything we do in FAM happens through partnerships.
We're church-centric.
You betcha. We partner with the church that exists among the reached to produce the not-yet church among the unreached. And in all of that, the only way we can really get to partnership is when there's hard alignment.
Sure.
So as we create the space, as we get the content out there, we're going to roll up our sleeves. If you're watching, kind of see me doing all the KP actions that I always do. If you're listening, you just have to use your imagination, but I am like an octopus arms when I'm talking.
You are.
So, but we're creating that space, right? Rolling up our sleeves, peeling back the onion, and really, we're going to kind of open up our heart and, and put ourselves out there even for criticism by just saying, this is who we are. This is what we do. But here's what I think is going to happen. As people start devouring that content and getting into it, they're going to be able to say, man, my heart for Christ, my heart for impacting this world, my heart for the kingdom, it aligns with those guys in the way they do it, in their attitude toward it, in the methodologies they're using, in the aspirations of it all. Man, that's my heart. I want to give to that. I want to invest in that. I want to go with that. I want to be part of it in intermediate, short-term, and long-term capacities. And you know what? Our church wants to partner with that. Mm. That's the kind of partner we're looking for to fulfill our own missional agenda.
Yep.
So, man, we have big hopes, big dreams for the podcast. Can't wait to get it out there. So glad to be doing it with you. And with that said, it kind of leans into the unique way we're going to do it. And there's a couple of roles we're creating. For lack of better words, I'm going to play the role of the sage. And not the old sage.
Not the old.
I'm not old. I'm not old. But just a little bit of that sage. I'm going to be sharing stories from our life and what God's done in us and what God's done to the learning curve that we've been on and learning from our mistakes, but getting to play that role of the sage. And for you, it creates a pretty unique role for you to come here on the podcast. Tell a little about that role you're going to play for our audience.
Yeah, you say you're a sage, and you are, but you are a fast-moving sage. and so I get the unique opportunity that I don't have a lot where I get to say, KP, let's slow down.
Oh, okay.
Slow down for a second.
That might be necessary.
Yeah, because there's some important things that we're going to be talking about. And so for the audience, I want to give them a voice, make sure that they have clarity around some of these issues.
Yeah.
You've been living in it and breathing kingdom movement and movement principles for a long time now.
Yeah.
And so you can say something and not know, or they might not know what you mean by it. So we're gonna give them a voice for that and really pause on some things and make sure that we put that in bold and we make sure we hear that.
You bet. It's going to be great to have you in the talk as an advocate for the group and even like a liaison between some of these unique terms that we have and the jargon we throw out there that, as you said, we live in it so much. Yeah. But to pause, to ask the audience to contemplate it, to drill down. So what a great role to be that liaison in that audience. So, all right, we've laid it out there. You know, we'll do a little back end because it's our first one, but let's get into what we really wanted to talk about today, right? And that is address one of the concepts that is near and dear to us. I mean, when we talk about this conversation today about what is a kingdom movement, Derek, I can't think of anything that has been more evolutionary in FAM's development in the last 3 to 5 years as this concept that we are and we are about a kingdom movement. I mean, it has big implications on not only who we were, what we've done, but what we're doing now. And then it just gives us that vision into who we are going to be, what we're going to be about in the coming future. So, I mean, it's just huge, this whole idea. So I wanted to get it out in our first podcast.
Why is that? Why is it so important to you, to us, that we are about kingdom movements?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, it's evolutionary for us. And I think it's because it speaks to our identity. Even more than strategy and tactics and which camp we align in, this idea of a kingdom movement has brought so much sense of identity to me that's allowed me as our founder and president just to be comfortable in my own skin and what we're about and see biblical precedent for it into not only who we are, but where we're going. Yeah, I remember we were, you know, in the midst of a team meeting, we're bringing out these movement principles, we're coaching the staff up here in Houston, and we had a new guy on the team. He'd been here for about 3 days, and he's like, I'm talking all my stuff, movement this, movement that, blah, 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 all our jargon.
As you do.
And he's a new guy, right? So, it's so funny. Very sheepishly, and he's not a sheepish guy, but very sheepishly, he's like, I'm on the third day. He raises his hand in the team meeting, right in the middle of the lecture, and I'm like, yeah, man, what's up? And he goes, hey, this is probably elementary and all, and I'm sure you understand it, but can you define what you mean by movement?
Right, because it's not elementary. It's not for a lot of people. It's not
big implications, yeah. And I was like, he really caught me off guard. He's like, stump the teacher, right? Yeah. You know, I was like, well, I don't really know how to define it. I kind of know it when I see it. And then I thought, well, I don't want to look bad. I don't want to look dumb in front of our new team member. So maybe I can mumbo jumbo him a little bit, and I could throw a little David Garrison's church planting movement definition on him. I could whip out a little quick rhetoric and try not to look caught off guard.
Sure.
But then I paused. I don't know if you remember, but I just kind of paused right there. And I was like, you know what? You deserve a better answer than this. And you know what? Our team deserves a better answer than that. I need to have a better answer than that. Our harvest fields deserve, our partners deserve a better answer than that, because it is so important in its implications.
What is it? I mean, we've talking about it, but what is that kingdom movement definition?
Yeah, you know, as we were searching that all out and looking at political movements, educational movements, religious movements, and looking into the Webster and Oxford about, okay, what's a movement in general? Yeah, we found something so much more than just a definition. And that's when we landed on this sense of identity, this understanding, and what we're really after and pursuing, that I think links right back to the mission of Jesus and what his apostles laid out after that. And that's when we defined what is a kingdom movement. And here's how we defined it. We said a kingdom movement is a network of kingdom citizens cooperating together in a sustained effort of making disciples and establishing churches at an exponential rate to disrupt the kingdom of darkness in a geographic area. And that's how we define a kingdom movement.
Yeah, that's a lot. And that's, I mean, this is important. So,
yeah, big time.
I mean, for anybody that's watching or even listening, this is what we're talking about right now. This is the definition. This is important. Mm-hmm. So you've been living and breathing that for a long time, but I think it's good to go back through it a little bit slower. We're going to break down those terms in a second, but let's just walk back through the definition.
Yeah, kind of hit it by phrase. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the first part, it's a network, right? We're not talking about just one church. We're not talking about an institution. It's a network. A network of what? A network of kingdom citizens. We're elevating the language here. It's not a network of Christians. It's not a network of church members. You know, in Western culture, you can be Christian and not a disciple of Christ. You shouldn't be, but you could be, right? You can be a church member and not in the kingdom, right? You shouldn't be, but you could be, right? So we're talking about the defining, elevating the language of this network. This network is made up of kingdom citizens, those devoted to the king, being an ambassador of the king.
So you have a network of kingdom citizens.
Yep. And they're cooperating together, right? They're working together. They're unified, right, around a certain mission. And they're cooperating in a sustained effort. Man, we don't want this thing to be just a flash in the pan, just a bell curve up and out. It was here one day, did something maybe, and then it was gone. Right? But a kingdom movement should be a sustained effort, right, of these kingdom citizens cooperating together as a network as they make disciples and establish churches. These are the two essential elements of their mission.
They're making disciples, establishing churches. Yeah.
Now, notice what we said in there. We didn't just say leading people to Christ or making converts. We're making disciples and establishing churches.
Now, it's establishing, not planting.
Yeah, we're not just focused on the planting of churches, not just focused on the teaching and growth and spiritual development of churches. We want to be focused on the totality of what that means. A kingdom movement focuses on establishing churches, how they get started, how they're shaped, how they're stabilized for successive generations and permeating their whole community. That's the element of a kingdom movement. Yeah. So with that in mind, then we take it up a notch. Now, I think you can look at the definition, and at this stage, probably every church, every Christian group, every agency, every ministry would say, yeah, we're all doing that.
Yeah, we should be able to adopt that.
Yeah, that's what we're all doing. But what goes from a kingdom enterprise or a kingdom effort to put it in the scope of a kingdom movement is the next little phrase. Making disciples and establishing churches at an exponential rate. Now, why exponential? Because that's what it's going to take to disrupt the kingdom of darkness in a geographic region. man, we're not just trying to make a few disciples. We're not just trying to plant one church and kind of hold on to our own and endure till Jesus comes back. We see there's a real enemy to the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of darkness. And we want to be making disciples and establishing churches as a network of kingdom citizens with as much gusto and fervor and drive that the kingdom of darkness that comes up against the kingdom of light, it is disrupted, and bring as many people into the kingdom as possible, advancing that throughout a geographic region where people live, right? And to see it taking impact and effect there in that place.
Yeah. That's, so, I mean, that's so good. That is the identity now.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And like you said, it has been that evolutionary part, the most evolutionary mm-hmm. part of who we are and how we know who we are and what we do. So, but I know you, and I know that everything you do, strategy, method, everything that you do has a biblical precedent. You've got a story. You've got a scriptural story.
Oh, yeah.
That you attach it to, that you bring it from. So what for this kingdom definition, kingdom movement definition, what is that scriptural base?
You bet. You know, and you see so much of the church as a movement throughout the New Testament, not in just the book of Acts, but throughout the whole New Testament. But there's one particular story that we see this comprehensive definition and all of its components really being played out in one little microcosm, happening in one story, in one geographic location, with one apostolic team. And so to kind of see that, let's just get in the scriptures together. And I don't know if our audience, if they can get the Bible out or not, we'll quote and reference the scriptures. You can look back on it and go through a journey. But where I really see this taking place is in Acts 18, 18, throughout the book of Acts 19, okay. You know, the chapter 19.
Sure.
So as we get into that, you know, the story with it is...
Yeah, what's the context of what's going on?
Yeah, let's paint that picture. So Paul and his apostolic team, they're at work in Corinth. The ministry's going good there. They're making disciples. They're establishing the church. Some of them are left behind for that local church establishment and shaping and stabilizing. And some of the apostolic team, primarily Paul, moves on and arrives in the city of Ephesus that we see at the beginning of chapter 19.
Okay.
And in that story, Paul goes out engaging people. Now, as he goes out engaging people with the gospel, he meets a group of eight, whether it's eight people, eight households, we don't know, but it's a group of eight. And he begins to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he does, he realizes, man, they've heard some of what John the Baptist talked about, but they don't know Jesus, and they don't even know there is a Holy Spirit to be regenerated by. So Paul then begins to proclaim that whole gospel message to them, and they believed. They were born again. They were endowed with the Holy Spirit of God. And then just as was Paul's tradition, he began to fully engage that community of Ephesus. And he goes into, as was his tradition, he goes into the synagogue. Mm-hmm. And while he's there, he's proclaiming, you know, making a message, you know, putting his message out there about Jesus is the promised one there in the synagogue. And we believe some people trusted in Christ. The disciples were being made.
Yeah.
But finally, after the majority of the synagogue members said, hey, we're not in this. Yeah, we reject it. Mm-hmm. Paul took his disciples and he went into a borrowed facility there in this great city of Ephesus where they would expand this movement from there in the hall of Tyrannus. And I love what he says about that. It says that daily in the hall of Tyrannus, there were discussions that were happening. And in my imagination, what was happening there, it wasn't a Billy Graham crusade.
Sure. It wasn't just a proclamation.
Yeah, that's right. And it wasn't just a lecture teaching mode either.
Sure.
But there was an aspect that we're reaching people from here. We're making disciples. Mm. Not only are we reaching them, we're equipping them from here, right? And then as people are reached in Ephesus, in the hall of Tyrannus, as they're equipped from that place, man, I also believe there was a sending from the hall of Tyrannus. And as that was happening and going through there, we get to that exponential mark, right? And that's where Luke records in Acts 19:10 that in a matter of 2 years, everyone in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, through the rest of the chapter, the story continues, and it gets some ups and downs and some great insights about what happens when the kingdom of light starts to advance against the kingdom of darkness. It's beautiful.
Some pushback?
Oh, yeah, a lot of pushback. and a lot of growth as well, and the dynamics of a healthy, functioning church being born within its leadership structures and what it's going to take to permeate that whole community as an apostolic team marches on. So that's how we see it. And then it kind of, from there, we start to see the definition in action.
Yeah. So I think it would be good to just walk through what we just looked at. You kind of gave a great overview of those, that passage. But I think it's good to kind of attach, like you've done, attach part of that definition to where it's at in the...
Yeah, let's do it. That'd be fun.
So the first part of that definition is a cooperating network. The network that is cooperating together. So where do you see that?
We see it in Acts 18, the team in Corinth. We see Paul was there, Priscilla and Aquila are there, Apollos is there. When we move into later in the Acts 19, we see other members of this cooperating network that are named, like Timothy, like Erastus. And then it just says there were other disciples. Mm-hmm. So what I see in that is, yes, this wasn't the one-man show. This was a great cooperating network. Mm-hmm. We're going to see later in 19 and 20, there were elders that were established there in the church of Ephesus that go unnamed, but they were part of an apostolic team and then local church elders that are cooperating in this network, this apostolic network.
Right. Paul gets a lot of the name, the recognition.
He gets the press, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets the press, but he's quick to acknowledge that team in all of his letters.
By name and others, and quick to establish those teams.
So they're a cooperating network. But the next part of the definition is this idea, this language of kingdom citizens. So where do you get that kingdom citizen?
Yeah, when you're looking right here in the text, it's interesting. And around Acts 19, 13 through 17, we get this little crazy part of the story where some guys that were imposters of the kingdom of God tried to use kingdom methodology, tried to use kingdom power for their own purposes. And it's a unique insight that shows there's a difference. No matter what you say, there's a difference in who's in the kingdom and who's not. And when these guys tried to cast out demons in Jesus' name, even though they didn't claim Jesus as the Lord of their heart, the demons spoke back and they said, Jesus, we know. And Paul, we know. He's a kingdom citizen. But you guys, we don't know you at all. Actually, you're part of our kingdom. And then they put the whoop on them, right? They just really bounced on them, and they left, you know, naked and bleeding. So we just see this contrast that in this community, there are kingdom citizens and there are others. But we see it at play in this division. Hey, Paul, I know. You guys, I don't know who you are, right? This idea that we're marked as kingdom citizens, and that's who's cooperating in a kingdom movement.
Right. Right. So as the church, we're all after making disciples.
Yeah.
But that is the next part. So in this text, where do you see the making disciples from this specific text?
You bet. Well, we see it right off the bat. Paul goes in with high proclamation. That's his first effort. You know, we don't see a lot of humanitarian work being done. We don't see a lot of educational work being done. What we see Paul doing is, I go in with high proclamation. I am making disciples. I'm not just making decisions. But what we also see about it is that they're in this establishment. We see the making of disciples, the establishment of churches we see throughout his letters that were written in response to this movement kicked off in Ephesus. But what I really love here is the aspect we see in the story of a sustained effort.
Sustained, sure.
You know, one of the biggest criticisms in the movement orientation of a church model is the bell curve of it, the lack of sustainability to it. And what I love seeing here is for Paul and him, this was a sustained effort that took place over about 2 years and 3 months. Yeah. And we know Paul stayed with the Ephesians church for over 3 years, but this particular work happened, we can see, within 2 years, 3 months, and some days, you could surmise, right? But it had a sustained effort to it.
Yep.
So I love seeing that in this story.
And then you said something that you paused on it and you said, this is important, but it's that exponential rate. And that might raise some eyebrows
when
they hear that exponential word, I guess. But how do you see that exponential rate played out?
Yeah, it's probably some people where they're like, okay, do we have to keep the exponential rate in this kingdom movement definition? That may play out in India or South Asia, but how's that really work for the church in the United States, this exponential rate? And the reason we keep it is because we're not trying to just live up to something. We're living by a kingdom movement. And I see that trait alive here in this expression of a kingdom movement in Acts chapter 19. And here's where it's expressed. It's right there. chapter 19, verse 10. Everyone in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord in a 2-year time frame.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't one town, wasn't one community, wasn't one household. It's a region, right? Pretty much all in modern day Turkey now.
Yeah.
But everyone within that region heard the word of the Lord. It doesn't mean everybody believed.
Sure.
Doesn't mean everybody bowed the knee to Christ. Everybody wasn't made a disciple and came into the body of believers. But everyone heard the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
And when I see that, that is an exponential movement of the Spirit of God and the word of God and the movement of his kingdom, right? Mm. And when I look at that and say, okay, this is how God moves. This is how God works. I want to posture myself to get in on that, giving everyone the opportunity to say yes to Christ.
Yep. And you said that the kingdom of God is expanding at this exponential rate, but it's coming up against the kingdom of darkness, and there's a disruption of that kingdom of darkness.
Yeah, I think this freaks people out a little bit in the definition. And in some of our traditions, we don't use this language that much. Yeah. But man, it is a move of the Spirit of God, an advancement of his kingdom in an exponential way to do something. Mm. And that is disrupt the kingdom of darkness. Now, we see this in the story in a couple of different comparisons. If you really look at it around Acts 19, 18 through 20 is where you really see a comparison going in of the evidence of life being changed, right? Where they're taking their idols, taking their idolatry instruments, they're throwing them out. We see lives are being changed. Those who were once held prisoners in darkness, right? Man, they have been set free. They're given up on it all. But then we see in Acts 19, 23 through 41, that as they came up against the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness did not just lay down.
Yeah.
There was a battle. An immense persecution broke out there that we see in verses 23 through 41. The persecution that follows, we want to disrupt. Hmm. And we see this taking place right there in the latter part of Acts 19, very evident. It is a disruption to the kingdom of darkness. And so, and many times, most times, the kingdom of darkness is going to fight back.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, that last part of the definition was the geographic area, within a geographic area. But what's so important about a specific geographic area?
Yeah, well, I love how they laid it out there. This was all done within the province of Asia, right? And for us, we're looking at that and saying, okay, yeah, these kingdom movements take place in real time, in real space, where real people live, right? It's not just kind of out there all over the cosmos or happening a little bit here, a little bit there. No, it's a defined exponential work disrupting the kingdom of darkness agenda in that place and for that people. Yeah. So whether you're a people group focused type person or a geographic focused type person, as you look to expand the kingdom, that fits there. And we definitely see it playing out in this story in the geographic area of Asia Minor.
Yeah.
And the names of its towns, like Ephesus, like Laodicea, like Colossae, right? Like Hierapolis, and men working in that, like Paul, like Epaphras, like Tychicus, and others that are seeking to impact that geographic area. So, man, I love seeing this definition play out in this awesome narrative. And for me, it becomes like, okay, this is a proof text. I'm running on that. I want to seek to emulate.
Sure, sure. And it, I mean, it fits so well with FAM, with who we are, what we believe. And there might be others out there who are seeking to educate and inspire, especially those who might see Acts or historical narratives as more descriptive rather than prescriptive.
But
what gives you so much confidence that this model is supposed to be emulated for all times, for all places, for all people?
You bet. Well, if the church is supposed to be the continuation of the life and the ministry and the works of Jesus, hey, we call it the Jesus movement, right? That's what he was establishing. So the way we see it is the church was, is, and is to always be a forward, rapid, expanding movement.
Yeah.
Right.
So how did you come to that conclusion though, that the church is supposed to be a rapid expansion?
I wouldn't say I always had it, but as I availed myself to these thoughts and as I got out into the world and saw the need and then started looking at the scriptures through a different lens, I just see from the way Jesus interacted, I see the rapid expansion in Acts 2, all the way up through Acts 4. I see the rapid expansion in up through Acts 8 on the heels of persecution. Mm-hmm. I see the expansion, rapid expansion coming out of the church at Antioch and getting in here and setting up through Ephesus and this continuation. I see the writings of the Apostle Paul to his apostolic team to go serve these as a continuation of that.
To continue what was started.
Yes, not a pause, not a pullback, not a drop back, but to continue that forward rapid expansion. That is our tradition. That is who we are. That is where we're going.
Yeah.
The church is a forward, rapid, advancing movement today.
Yeah.
And I want to be part of it.
Yeah. So what is our role in that? What, as far as this definition goes, what are we supposed to be emulating?
Yeah. And that's tricky, right? Are we to emulate the aspects of Acts 19 where they're putting out the handkerchiefs, you know, and all that? Are we to emulate just the numbers? Man, we got to keep up with that pace, that productivity that came out. Is that what we're emulating? And, you know, we're running a little bit short on time for our podcast, so I'm just going to drop it right here. Here's what we're emulating, in our opinion, for FAM. Mm. What we're emulating is not so much every little bitty tactic we see in the story, but here's the high level that we're emulating.
Okay.
That there is to be an apostolic team that is producing the local church. And that apostolic team and that local church are working together to permeate every nook and cranny of that area they're in that symbiotic relationship of apostolic leaders within their calling and their gifting, performing that necessary function for that expansion of the kingdom. But then also these gifted local pastors, teachers, elders, evangelists that stick and stay and use their giftedness and their calling to drill down and build out and push up the body of Christ and the kingdom of God, permeating that whole community with the kingdom of God as the apostolic team pushes the church further and further into lostness and among the unreached. And when those themes come together, the nature of a comprehensive apostolic team is there. And Derek, that's what we are to be emulating from the truths of this story.
It's a posturing in it. Everybody on the team is postured for them.
According to our gifts, our roles and calls, giving license and freedom to each other. And when we think about that apostolic tradition, that's what FAM is all about. So here's my question for you. What's the kingdom movement opportunity that God has put before you? What's he been putting on your heart for the unreached? What does he have for you in the harvest fields? But I want you to think about this. What does he want of you as a harvest force? We want to help you answer those questions throughout the journey of this podcast. So write us a review. Tell us how God's moving on your heart, what he's showing you, what he's doing. Join in the conversation on our Instagram at GoFam. Share it with a friend. Let's broaden the conversation. And also check out FAM's website for information and resources, how we can partner together, how you can give, how you can go, how your church can get involved. And let's see a kingdom movement break forth among the unreached. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is the end of our podcast for today. And I want you to go and be dangerous for Jesus.